Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Nodcast, where if you're just joining us now, you can hear the crinkly, crinkly wrapper of the most glorious looking purple snack chocolate bars that Ellen Sheehan has just delivered out to this table in Billy Burns Bar in Kilkenny. Oh me, oh my, you make me sigh, you're such a good looking chocolate bar.
I wonder, would people be able to guess the chocolate bar from the rustling and from the chomp?
Yeah. I'd say like there's a couple of keen-eared listeners out there that are like, jeez, that's a purple snack anyway.
Yeah.
Purple snack all day long. Yeah, very welcome to this week's Nodcast. I'm DJ Walsh, hosting today alongside Owen Tabb on the favourably light-sided side of the table here, and Billy Burns out the front, and we're joined by my brother Ian Walsh. Ian, how are you getting on?
Nice to be here. I'm having a choking
on this podcast. He's a choker.
Nice to be here.
At least you haven't
nice.
At least you haven't spat from your nose into your hand yet. So that's already an improvement on your first appearance.
Yeah, I'm moving up.
Yeah, so we're here. We're up in Billy Burns Bar. Shout out first of all to Billy Burns for the food. We were here earlier on today. Had some of the home eggs. They were top notch eggs.
Who was Billy Burns?
No idea.
Yeah,
no idea.
Gay Burns,
I mean, who was anyone? Like, who was Phil Grimes? Like, you know.
R.I.P.
But, whoever Billy Burns is, anyway, he makes a good lot of eggs with some chorizo and spuds and a bit of spinach there. They're really good. Bit of cheese. And, came back here now and we were like, we'll settle in here, part of the old podcast, watch the old match, and, have a bit of grub and, Owen. Before I ask you what you're drinking today, what were you eating today?
What, here?
Yeah.
I had a fish and chip. Yeah, classic. So, the story behind me having a fish and chip here today is that Kira is allergic to white fish. So, yeah, I know, it's a weird one. So, every time I'm out, like, I have white fish, and then she can't have any bit of my food. Like, you know, she can't go, oh, can I have a taste of that? Like,
you
know, so full plate myself, like, you know. And it's obviously rolled on to here now. It also makes for a kind of a dodgy shift later on in the night.
Like, yeah, I was just about to ask, can you shift that? Yeah. I see you at 80.
I have a few adrenaline pins in the bag there, I'll just give it to you. Yeah, really good. Like the fish, I also had it. The fish was covered in batter that was it was Costello.
Was it?
Costello's Brewing Company batter, yeah. There was some of the spelt lager in the batter, so
oh, sure,
I don't know how they make
beer batter, yeah.
Yeah, beer batter. I don't know how they make beer batter, like I'm not a beer batter enthusiast,
not a
chef
batter.
Like no, I never battered beer. But yeah, it was really, really good. Ian, what you have?
I had a chili and lime, flowery bat. was just the kind of bap you want on a Saturday.
Is it like a chicken bap or a
chicken? Chilean named chicken bap.
Yeah, I look good.
It was.
I look good. Your flowery hands
with a bit of heart.
Oh, really, really good.
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
And then the after snack here, then the purple snack.
Yeah.
How do you tackle the purple snack? What's the methodology like?
I just down the gym.
Yeah, I got it down the hatch.
Down the hatch.
Yeah,
yeah. I nibble around the chocolate around the edges.
And then just horse into it.
And then just horse into it like this. Then
half and half.
Yeah, nibble the chocolate around the edge. Fucking top notch. Top notch. Kilkenny, it's mad, like we usually record in Waterford, but we're up in Kilkenny here today. It's an absolute savage town for the pubs.
And for the Sioux Fittings.
I mean, not to give away the reason that we're here today, but is this your first time out drinking in Kilkenny?
Yeah.
What do you make of it so far?
Every second door you walk past in the city is a pub.
Fact.
Base pubs.
Mm.
A lot of different vibes. There's the kind of hipster, what was it called?
The
pub we're in?
Langton's?
No, the
Kidler's Inn.
Kidler's Inn, yeah.
Yeah.
Kidler's Inn, that's kind of hipster vibe, I thought.
Yeah. Kidler's Inn is a mad kind of pub. There's a lot of backstory to this, so Kidler's Inn is supposedly where Alice Kidler lived. She was a prominent woman in Kilkenny in the 14th century.
Any relation to Hitler?
Possibly. I don't know. Might have got lost in translation there. But she was Finn Dwyer, the Irish History. Finn Dwyer of the Irish History Podcast did a series on Alice Kidler. She was in the witchcraft burnings of the 14th century. She was actually burned at the stake for witchcraft. There's also a hanging tree in Kilkenny that still stands too. Where in the medieval times, people convicted of crimes were hanged from the branches of the tree. And according to local folklore, you can hear screams at night when you're walking past it.
That's just the teenagers down the corner.
Yeah. Would you say that puts up or down the price of property? Is it so much a nuisance that it's driving it down, or is it so unique?
It probably depends on if a paranormal activity movie was released that year or not.
Oh, yeah.
That probably influences the market, I'd say. Kidler's Inn is a really good bar. We were in it at what was it, fucking 1 o'clock in the day, so it was quite enough, and we just had a quiet old pint there. But during the evening, they do proper trad sessions, and it's got a late bar as well. The other thing as well with Kidler's Inn is they've got pictures up around the place, so it's supposedly a haunted building, and apparently in a lot of pictures taken in Kidler's Inn there are ghosts in the background and strange figures that are are there. There's one where an American family took a series of photos, three or four, on a camera that they had to get developed, and there's a figure in the background of three of them, and then it disappears in the foreground. And there's some strange happenings goes on there. Apparently Alice Kidler is still haunting the folks at Kilkenny.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there is good spots around though. We're in Billy Burns here now.
Yeah.
Billy Burns
is a great spot, yeah.
This is where we record our podcast with Finn time.
Yeah.
And you recorded it in the Holden Wall. We didn't make it there today now.
No, not yet. No, but Billy Burns is a really cool kind of bar. Ian, you remarked the inside is complete contrast to what the outside is an approach.
You think you're walking into a big old man's pub and it's modern, equal inside. You never think you're walking when you're inside, you never think it looks like it does on the outside.
Yeah,
it looks really small on the outside as well, and then you come in and it opens up into this big lovely open bar, and they've got the big massive beer garden at the back. They've got the smoking area at the side that kind of doubles as a second beer garden as well. That's where we recorded the podcast with Finn Dwyer last summer, which is really good too. If you're a new listener to the podcast, I'd highly recommend going back and listening to Rasputin Robespierre and Joseph Mary Plunkett walk into a bar. That's a top notch episode and that would have been fairly interesting.
TJ, how many days left to the win now?
41 6-7 42, yeah, 41. We're on a countdown. The clock's a ticking.
The clock is a ticking.
Yeah. The clock is a ticking. And do you know what? Actually, we're getting married in Kilkenny. Not far from here, so we probably will end up here that weekend in this bar.
More importantly, when's the stag?
The stag is 6 days away. More on that next week. But yeah, Ian was on the podcast this week, might be on the podcast next week as well, as he is the best man at the wedding and organising the stag. How are the organisations coming along, Ian? Without giving too much away to me or the listeners.
I plead the fifth on this topic.
I mean, we don't have a
all
fifth amendment.
All will be revealed in time.
Fair enough. Owen, you're part of the Privy Council for the stag.
Yeah, so the first day we're going to...
Yeah, they're kind of funny things, stag parties, like... They kind of just sneak up on you all of a sudden, and then you're like, right, I have this mad weekend of shenanigans. Like,
lottery, yeah.
Yeah, pure shenanigans. But we won't get into the detail of that too much. The other bar we were in, which is a lovely layout of a bar and a really cool, I suppose, has buns of potential, is Bridie's. Like, which fronts as a grocery shop, and we were walking past it earlier, like, the remarks were, that's hardly a bar. But it's a really cool layout and inside. I was saying, like, it's the kind of place that, like, Tommy Kyrie's auctioneers in Waterford will be selling really old bar furniture and shit like that to.
It was a cool layout. Like, so yeah, they have a little kind of shop, kind of corner grocery shop kind of in the front of it there, selling all, but it was a big thing of ketchup and mayo in particular. But they had all
hot
that
dog kind of thing.
And then when we were leaving, or then, yeah, it just expands back into it. Kind of gets a little kind of like this kind of half modern, half. It's a little hipstery kind of in the back as well. Like, it's pretty cool though.
It's very.
Do you notice as well that in there that all the taps had were unlabeled.
Yeah.
They had just like a little sticker like on the front of the bar saying like Smittix or whatever. Like, so overall, I like that. It was a place. What's that 5-star hotel there up by UCC?
Hayfield Manor.
Hayfield Manor. So after we graduated, the parents brought me up there, and again, same kind of situation. It looks like that with the taps like fucking unlabeled.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like, I like it. Like, you know, if you don't have like fucking a big like Heineken logo blazing in your face, like, you know.
It does. Yeah. It does reduce the kind of market influence in a sense. Like, we even said we went into Kittler's and sat up at the bar.
Yeah.
And we went to order a drink, and we were faced with the taps in front of us. We didn't realise at the time that around the back there was like
more
labels and more taps and a better selection of beer than we initially thought. And I suppose that goes to show, like, if you want good quality beer, good like craft beer, when you go somewhere, just fucking ask for it if you don't see it, you know, which is a good lesson.
Yeah, but that's like the big tactic of the macro breweries, that they buy to pay more for a tap space up the front, like, so that's the first thing you see when you come into the spot, like, rather than
and shoving
down the back.
I mean, look, it's obviously effective. It worked on us earlier. Like,
see, that's why Phil Grimes has the 2 doors.
Yeah,
he's a sneaky. These are the premium taps here in the front door. Everyone,
he doesn't let the reps through the saloon doors, like the swinging doors. Like, all the Heineken reps are like, oh, geez, sorry, this is a small little bar here. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? There's no back door. No, that's deliveries. Yeah, no, that's deliveries.
Genius, man.
That Tom Ryan, he'll get you. But yeah, Bridie's a very, very funny, a very strange. Like, you go through the grocery stores in the back, it's really, really cool vibe. But then they were playing like really old like opera or something, was it? Like, it was playing in the background.
I don't know. It was kind of like sexy jazzy music.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Jazz.
But then there was like Japanese sitcom on and the TV then.
I think it was The King and I, it was on RT2.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
I couldn't make head nor my mind was all over the place.
When the barman was watching that, we didn't have the option.
Yeah. He had the television pointed towards himself and away from the patrons. But then we came back up here to Billy Burns, where we ordered a bit of grub and a couple of drinks. And lads, Ian, I suppose, what are you drinking today?
I have a bottle of coronavirus with a slice of lime disease.
Oh, nice.
Delicious.
Oh, Jesus.
You'll be sick in the morning, though.
Oh, might fucking kill me.
What are you actually drinking?
No, I'm drinking the old classic pint of Guinness. Nice pint of Guinness, actually.
Nice bit of Guinness here, yeah?
Yeah.
You've been on the Guinness in the three bars. Rank the Guinness in the three pubs, 1 to 3.
Kittler's 1. Billibar's 2. Bridie's 3.
Really? Because I thought Bridie's, with the kind of pomp and the old signage and all that kind of stuff, would have a good Guinness. It kind of had the vibe, but...
I thought it was too quiet.
Yeah.
No,
see, Kittler's is a late bar as well, stays open until three or half three in the morning, so they probably, you know, there's probably always a flow in that.
Yeah.
Probably always a flow in that. Oh, and what about yourself?
I'm on Costello's local beer, Beyond the Pale.
Yeah.
Ale.
Brewed only a couple of hundred yards from here.
Yeah. Ah, sure. It's tasty. Tasty out.
Lovely bit of stuff. And I suppose, seeing as we're here on Reading Related Duty, I said I'd go for a good leash beer after the leash woman I'm marrying. So I'm on the 12 Acres Pale Ale, a beer that has featured heavily on the Snowcast over the, what are we, 60 episodes or so?
Yeah, something.
They're thereabouts anyway.
Yeah.
It's been on a good few, and it's really tasty, easy to drink, not too heavy, good depth, good flavour, goes down a treat. Yeah, love it. So this is your first time drinking the Kilkenny. Oh, and you've been drinking the Kilkenny a couple of times. The day vibe versus the night vibe in Kilkenny is completely different. Like, during the day, it's a really laid back, cool, chilled out vibe like we've had today. Like,
the night is full of stags and hens.
Yeah, like we're hitting 4:30 now, and like everyone who was on a stag or a hen party last night is only like rising now.
Yeah.
Coming up to have a bit of grubbing, and it'll really take off in a couple of hours' time, you know?
Yeah, it's funny, like, it's here the pubs that, like, as you said, we're, like, pretty much half the premises here are pubs, like, but, like, as well, though, like, as you're walking up, like, some of them are obviously kind of local ones that are just for locals, and they have, like, on the signage on the doors, like, no stags, no hens, like, whatever, coming in, like, and it's actually... talking to someone there recently, you know, on about like who worked in Kilkenny Council, and they were saying that they kind of want to, like, yes, it's brilliant having all these stags and hens here, like, you know, but they actually don't want the city to be defined by it, like, you know, as well, like, because, like, there's such history, like, the big castle, everything, like, but. Like, you know, and like all the streets are amazing. Where, like, even when we went down the butter slip on there today, like, it's just amazing. All these like just really close proximities and like an alleyway between them and steps and stuff. It's really cool, but like, you don't give a fuck about that when you're at a stag or a hen. Like, you just want to fall into a place, like, you know, just want to get fucked, like, you know. So actually, that's probably more of a hindrance than anything else. Like, actually falling in a few stairs, like. But I think I think Kilkenny City Council want to, like, actually, like, promote the culture, heritage,
the heritage and culture. But you know what, at the same time, dude, though, there's such high quality caliber of pub scene and nightlife here that, like, you can see why it is such a destination city for stags and hens as well. As someone who's organising a stag at the moment, Ian, Kilkenny, good or bad?
Well, more today, like, I suppose
You could just keep going, couldn't you?
Like, for a bit of grub, like, the food we had there wasn't too heavy, so you wouldn't be fucking.
Yeah.
You'd be able to drink afterwards, you know what I mean?
Would you say there's a risk of, like, everyone splitting up, though, in, like, several bars and stuff, like, you
know? Because you'd have a few fellas who, like, Kittner's was unbelievable last night, so we go back there. Then you'd have said, we went to Billy Burns for a few, so I know. Isn't there too close together?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the thing, like, Kilkenny is basically, Kilkenny City and the nightlife in it is basically two streets, like. One really long street and one fairly long street.
Off the side of it, yeah.
Off the side of it, yeah, but it's a fucking brilliant town, and any listeners outside of Ireland, I'd implore them to come and visit Kilkenny if they wanted to go for a couple of pints when they come over. But yeah.
Topic of the show.
I suppose let's get stuck into something here straight away. We're after eating the purple snacks here now. What I want to do, lads, is let's run through a few chocolate bars. When we were on the way out of Bridie's, right, I don't know if you noticed, there were some old school chocolate bars for sale in a basket.
Yeah.
The Wilton ones, yeah.
There was a Wilton mint crisp. There was a
macaroon
Calypso, big time. They were all on sale in the basket. So let's start off with a Wilton range. Ian, you've got a ranking system set up for us.
Well, they're broken into tiers. There's the gold tier, which is the best barrels of all time. Then there's the elite tier, which are top notch, but they're not quite gold. Then you have good, but not elite. Then you have average, but not good. And then you have the stink.
The below average stinkers, then.
Yeah.
So, if we were to start off with, I'm gonna come out with Calypso. So, the Calypso bar, really hard toffee, lovely outer caramel, a lovely outer chocolate layer on the outside. Where do you reckon it ranks?
It's good, it's not elite.
Good but not elite, do you think?
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
You're not familiar with the Calypso?
No.
Do you know, we would have had them with, when I was living with Sonia of Snowcast fame. They were the hard toffee ones we used to dunk into the tea. It's not coming to you.
No, not coming to me.
Hard toffee, I'd say you're probably right, good, not elite, but yeah. An absolute treat when you haven't had one for a while though. And one pops up and you have it with the tea. What about the macaroon then? A little desiccated coconut flakes and trills.
Good
still, yeah.
Good, yeah.
And that's what I thought you would give it a good, because you're not a coconut man.
No, but you need it, like, you're not, like, if you go to the shop, you're not dying for a man.
I don't think anyone's ever said that.
Yeah, exactly, so it's good, like.
Or is it average?
That's good, alright. The chocolate quality is
like,
top notch.
If you just put one on the counter at home, you'd be like, oh, days from my home. Yeah, if you saw it in the shop, you're like, oh, no, you get the good.
The mint crisp then.
Elite.
Do you think it's elite?
Oh no, the dairy mint crisp.
No, the Wilton one.
Elite, yeah.
Yeah.
Good berry, yeah.
Do you like a bit of mint in the chocolate?
Yeah, I do, well, like, I'm a big fan of After Eight, like.
Yeah. Right. Oh, is that a chocolate bar though?
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's it's more of a snack.
It's more of a chocolate.
Yeah, just a chocolate.
Chocolate bite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so we're classified, and then big time. Average, I reckon.
Average, yeah.
I reckon you're going average or big time. I think it's the...
Like, if you're putting macaroon and Calypso in good, you can't have big time the same tier.
So basically, big time is the run to the Wilton litter.
Yeah, hold on, we have to remember, we have international listeners here, right? So explain a big time. To these
bland shite. The big time
chocolate, like,
it's fucking nothing to it, is there, like,
grand,
yep. Nothing going on.
Don't waste our
breath. We've got a heap of chocolate bars to get through.
Yeah.
Let's move from the, I suppose, Ireland's biggest export of chocolate, an Irish business success story, be Cadbury's. And I suppose, start off with the front office, the face of the building, Dairy Milk. Yeah.
The plain Dairy Milk.
Plain Dairy Milk.
When it was in the tin foil wrapper, it was elite.
Yeah.
But since it's gone to that,
Papery wrapper,
yeah.
No, it was good,
now
it's elite.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd
elite, yeah.
Yeah. What I love doing with a square of Dairy Milk is just putting it in my mouth and it just naturally melts.
Oh, it's sick, man.
You get that.
Yeah, you
can
stump
your palate, yeah.
Right, fuck you.
It's like putting a clump of mud in your mouth.
So look, I can know what you're saying. You used to eat mud as a child. You're moving on.
Fucking look to me now.
Moving on then to the mint crisp, the Cadbury's mint crisp. So we're putting Wilton mint crisp in elite. Is it on a par? Yeah.
Yeah. It's elite, yeah.
Yeah, it is elite, yeah.
The only thing pushing it from goat is the golden crisp.
I was going to, that's my next one. The golden crisp, I think, is the best of all Dairy Milk bars. I mean, I think if you're having a cup of coffee and the Caramello's going, it's up there. But golden crisp.
Golden crisp never disappoints.
No, I'm going to say elite.
Elite?
Yeah.
Oh, it's golden. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Which one of the Cadbury's would you put as goat, so?
Do any Cadbury's belong in a goat,
yeah,
you think?
Do any of them belong in a goat?
Tiffin?
I'll get back to you, man.
Fruit nut, maybe.
Fruit nut?
Oh, no.
Whole nut? Here's one then, right?
I have one, actually. Have you had the Fabulous Creations?
Yeah.
With the exploding candy in it.
The popping candy and the, they're...
They're unbelievable. The jellies.
They're not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Ellen says shit, but...
So good.
They're not good, though.
Definitely elite. The other one that I like from recently is the where'd you stand on Crunchy?
Good.
Yeah.
Solid.
The Dairy Milk with Crunchy bits throughout it. Now that's definitely elite.
Yeah.
So you get the big block one.
Yeah. Poor man's full of
this. Now what about the Dairy Milk with Oreo in it?
I'm not a fan.
Average. It's not sweet.
It's average when it's full price. But you know when it's in Tesco on the yellow label, it's good. Yeah. Good.
I mean, everything on the yellow label is automatic.
Yellow label, fuck yeah.
Automatically good. Coming on then, right? So this is the transition period then, where you have the Dairy Milk Turkish Delight. And rather than giving a ranking, we're going to put it head to head with the Fry's Turkish Delight.
It's on the rank, rank.
You don't like a Turkish Delight, no?
Rank.
I like a Turkish Delight, but it's average.
I like a Fry's Turkish Delight. I would put a Fry's Turkish Delight good, but Dairy Milk Turkish Delight is average, I would say. Dairy Milk's Turkish Delight doesn't even taste like Turkish Delight at all. Like, there's no.
There's not even a Turk in it.
Yeah.
No. Near a Turk at all.
It's a curd.
Actually, that's a food pun. I was going to flag that and cut it out, but it's a very good food pun. I'm going to leave it in and sure look. Anyone who takes offence can write to Ian Walsh.
Might be a small bit offensive, okay.
Sure look, we support Kurds. Stumpcast officially supports the Kurds.
Kurds and Turks.
Anyways. Then you've got the Fry's Peppermint Cream and the Fry's Spearmint Cream.
Peppermint? No.
The blue one?
Yeah, the blue one, yeah.
I think green one stinks, blue one average.
What one's which? Blue one is Spearmint. No, peppermint. Blue one's Peppermint. Yeah, Peppermint, yeah.
Peppermint is average and the Spearmint is stink, is it?
I'd say blue one is good.
Yeah, good, yeah. The dark chocolate as well is one of the better dark chocolate bars.
But then if you're putting like that up against an After Eight, like, you know, another...
After Eight is the chocolate bar.
I know, but like, I'm just saying, you know, like when you're
true.
Palate, you know.
True, on the ball. Then we come to the other, I suppose... What you call front of shop chocolate bars then?
Yeah.
Timeout.
Oh, right. So timeout. I have a nostalgia factor about, like, whereby, like, definitely 90s kind of just, I don't know, they just kind of appeared with like a cup of tea.
It's
like,
a cup of tea bar, yeah.
Yeah, they just like literally, like, you just get a
like
cup of tea.
You boil the kettle.
Yeah. Yeah, it just appeared, like, you know.
When you sat down, like, you just, where the fuck did this come out?
Yeah.
Then we have the Kit Kat.
Again, cup of tea base, I think.
An extensive range of Kit Kats, though.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was in Japan, they fucking had like a kick-ass like store with like so many. And then when I came back here, actually, like literally straight after, like I think it was a Tesco or somewhere. I was in Newbridge or something, and like they fucking had loads of like matcha Kit Kats, like green tea Kit Kats, like all these weird flavors, orange Kit, yeah, just all over the place.
The orange ones were around for a while. Or deals.
I'm a big fan personally of the salted caramel Kit Kat chunky.
Oh yeah,
I would try that, and the peanut butter one. I think that's a very good little mini range they've going on there.
And I like the peanut butter on like rice cake, but I don't like peanut butter flavor things.
No. The other front of shop ones then would be Twix.
Twix. I'd probably give it elite size over it. Yeah. Just because it's just
reliability.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's not a bar that you eat without a cup of tea either, though, is it? Like,
or it's not a bar you'd buy.
Yeah, no. You don't put the shampoo. Oh, I love it. Fucking
no, you find it in you find it in one of those metal roses tins, or like in some
basket in
some
the press.
Press, thing. Yeah.
Like, as long as they just won't discard it in
some,
the corner.
Some like Granan's press or something. Like, you know, you're just like, oh, fuck, great, I have one of those.
Then we come on to the flake. Definitely elite for me, flake.
Flake, yeah.
Good. I think it's flake is just a messy word.
But like, has huge versatility in terms of like ice cream adaptations. Like, also can be put on top of like a pavlova or something. Like, you know, also has a dessert functionality.
Crunch it up on top
flake.
Of the mocha.
Yeah. Flake is definitely elite. That could make it good. So obviously then, if you said a flake is just a messy twirl, we're putting them in the same bracket.
Twirl is above it, yeah.
Above it, yeah. But you, like,
so does that push twirl into goat then?
No, twirl's not goat. Like, that's what I'm saying. Flake is good. Twirl is elite.
And then orange twirl is goat.
Orange twirl is.
Like, would you pick an orange twirl over Terry Chaplin?
Yeah.
I would. So you can't have it as
goat. So you're putting Terry's chocolate orange in as goat then?
I say, would you?
It's because it has like 60 slices.
Yeah.
No, segments.
I'm one of the longest running marketing campaigns ever. That woman that did the first TV ad for Terry's chocolate orange is still doing them, I reckon.
Fuck off.
I'm just making that up. Because with Netflix and streaming now, I've never seen a TV advert in 5 years, but I reckon she still doesn't. Then, two bars that I think are right up there. Lion Bar.
Elite.
Toffee Crisp.
Elite.
I think Toffee Crisp is a great show for being a goat. Goat tier chocolate bar.
They're very nice, alright. Yeah.
I think they're the kind of bar that you don't think about, but then when you have one, you're like, I fucking cannot believe I forget how good these are.
Yeah, maybe it's my memory failing me. Like,
yeah,
so I reckon. Like,
Joe and Lou,
when
we go to the train station a minute now, we get a toffee crisp. And,
yeah, we can make an amendment to this.
Yeah, we'd be on the train like, we would just like to update the listeners.
I'm streaming it. Toffee crisp, unbelievable. Go.
Yeah. On the ball, thanks. Then, where do we live when it comes to a star bar then?
Good, yeah. I like them, but like, I wouldn't buy one, mate.
How about you?
I think you could, star bar probably pushes is an overlap between the good and the elite. Like, it's probably like, if you were to judge if something's elite or good, you'd say if it's elite, it's better than a star bar, and if it's good, it's not as good as a star bar, and it's that bridge between good and elite.
That's a marker, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a
tough one.
I'm going to come to some nostalgia. Proper yellow label Tesco and Dunn's lunchbox chocolate bars with tea now.
Okay.
Blue ribbons.
What's a blue ribbon?
basically a shit timeout.
Basically a shit timeout.
Okay. Average.
The tartan wrappered caramel wafer bar.
Oh yeah.
I think it's just called a caramel.
Yeah. Or Caramac?
No. Caramac is different.
That's Cadbury.
Possibly, I'm not sure.
Good. I'd say good.
Yeah, good.
A Rocky bar.
Oh,
good.
Good, yeah.
Good. Rocky caramel.
Good.
Yeah, good,
yeah. Penguin.
Elite. Reliability.
Oh,
Yeah.
Plus, you got a joke.
Yeah.
You've got a terrible joke on the back of the wrapper.
I wouldn't say terrible joke. Some are very good.
But is a penguin a biscuit? Or is it a bar?
Oh.
Yeah, but if we're counting like
a Rocky.
If we're counting a Rocky.
It's literally called a penguin bear.
Yeah, okay. I'll give it to you.
I take it.
Right, what about the other snacks?
Well, that's it.
Yellow snack.
Let's rank the snacks in order, best to worst.
Purple, obviously.
Purple
number one. Then we've got yellow snack and pink snack.
Yellow snack good. Pink snack average.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Yeah, I think
like pink snack is also kind of shit time out.
Okay. Then you've got your Kinder Bueno.
Good.
What about white Kinder Bueno?
Elite, because the original is just slightly better.
I think the reason that original Kinder Bueno is gold and white Kinder Bueno is elite is white Kinder Bueno with a little bit of white chocolate is just that little bit sweeter.
No, Ellen made a point last week. We actually were talking about this when we collected Aoife from work. The reason the original is nice is because you can take off the bottom and like scoop out the hazelnut.
That is also true, where you've got them.
You have the crunchy bits on the white one where you can't really.
Right.
I give the white gold.
Oh.
Fair enough.
And you put more from each white though.
Yeah.
Now think of a. Try and come up
apologies,
with.
If they just made them fair where they had one half.
A chocolate boner.
Michael Jackson didn't die for it.
No, give me a chocolate bar that you can no longer get commercially. Greatest of all time.
Mars Light.
Mars Light.
Can't tell.
Do you remember the Mars Light?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Unbelievable.
It had no relation to Mars at all, though.
Yeah, but if Mars is shit like. So
yeah,
if Mars
Mars
are listening.
Average, yeah.
Actually, yeah, Mars, what's that? Mars.
Average. Yeah.
Average.
Snickers.
Good. Maybe. Snickers is. I would put Snickers on par with Starbucks.
Good.
Good bottom. And then. Double decker.
Yeah.
You're going good.
Maybe Elite, actually.
Elite, yeah.
I kind of jumped the gun around
the
answer. I panicked a little.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty fair enough. Are there any other chocolate bars in the world, like?
Of course.
The Milka range.
Milka range. Milka chocolate in general.
Good. Cadbury's nice one.
Yeah.
Well, but when you were a child,
what about Galaxy?
Galaxy Ripple is definitely elite.
What about Galaxy
Caramel?
Good.
Oh,
I'd say elite.
Yeah, elite.
I'd put it good.
Like Guinness. What?
What about a Caramello, actually?
Did I mention him earlier?
No.
Thought I did. Caramello. I'm putting Caramello on elite. Caramello is probably...
Caramello or Galaxy Caramel?
Caramello.
Oh, you can't afford to elite talk, can you?
But I would say, like...
Yeah, Galaxy Caramel don't be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. I'm on board.
Do you know... Yeah, I think Galaxy Ripple is the best of the Galaxy range.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Right, okay.
They have a Galaxy Cookie Crumble, that's very nice.
And then it's salted caramel, Galaxy as well.
And then you have Yorkie.
Yorkie
Honeycomb still in production.
So, we had this conversation recently, me and Owen.
Yeah.
and we reckon not. But I saw a Yorkie honeycomb on limited edition release somewhere lately, and I haven't seen it again since.
They were
go to. I reckon Yorkie honeycomb.
That's my answer to the Marisol.
Yorkie honeycomb is go tier. Plain Yorkie is elite, and then Yorkie raisin and biscuit is good.
I wouldn't say
I've ever had a Yorkie raisin biscuit.
I had one the other day in the hospital.
It's great. It's nice.
It's grand. Crunch.
What?
Crunch bar.
Good.
Yeah.
And what else are we left?
Potato bar.
Oh, like fucking steaks. Yeah.
Actually, we're probably not thinking of. We haven't mentioned any like bad bars yet.
Potato bar is terrible.
Willy Wonka.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Bourneville.
Yeah.
An awful bar. I reckon as well. I wouldn't be a fan of a topic.
Have them off the
What about a bounty?
I was going to say I like a bounty.
Stinky there. Below a stinky there. They are the ass there.
What about a Milky Way?
So what you're saying is, if people like bounty, they like eating ass.
Yeah, if you eat a bounty, it's basically ingesting a colon.
Fair enough. Right, let's move away from chocolate bars for a little quick fire round, because Billy Burns is livening up. I think there's a party starting soon enough, so we might.
Christening or
yeah, something like that.
Funeral.
Some celebration of some kind, anyway.
Christening, that's following it on to a funeral.
I'm going to name 5 fizzy drinks, rank them in order, best to worst.
Okay.
Coca Cola, 7-Up, Fanta Orange, Fanta Lemon, Club Rock Shandy.
Have it. Coca-Cola 1, Club Rock Shandy 2, Fanta Orange 3, Club Lemon 4, 7-Up
5. I would go Fanta Lemon 1.
Oh, get out of town.
Fanta Lemon
1.
Flag. Find the lemon one.
Yeah, flag on the play. 15-year penalty unnecessary. Fucking
stupidity. Club Rock Shandy 2, Coke 3, 7-Up 4, Fanta Orange 5.
Is there any fizzy drink nicer than a cold can of Coke?
A cold can of Fanta Lemon.
No, it's too,
if you're on the Mediterranean, if you're on the Mediterranean and you want to quench that thirst of not being within an arm's reach of a pint, you're going for the Fanta Lemon.
No, you're going for the Super Bowl.
Right, Coca-Cola number 1, Club Lemon or Club Lemon, is it?
Either or.
Yeah, number 2,
Fanta Lemon is actually Club Lemon.
Yeah, yeah. 1-11 drink.
Lemonade.
San Pellegrini Lemon.
Rock Shandy number 3, 7-Up number 4, Orange number 5.
I agree. I agree with my ranking.
I agree with my ranking.
You agree with your ranking?
I agree with both your rankings.
We'll put the rankings up on a poll and see who votes.
My rankings are definitive rankings, so it depends.
Yeah, well, mine has been endorsed by Barack Obama.
Mine has been endorsed by Finn Dwyer.
If you're listening, Finn, Wayne, on the next Irish History Podcast. Right. Give me your Pancake Tuesdays coming up.
Yeah.
Give me your Pancake Tuesday topping of choice.
Sugar and lemon.
Yeah, like, I'd probably have 5 strawberries of pancakes, because pancakes is my favourite food. So I'll have number 1, sugar and lemon. Number 2, probably just Nutella. Number 3, Nutella and banana. And number 4, Nutella and strawberry. I know, I do this every year. And then number 5, probably go back to sugar and lemon, yeah.
Yeah, like, the thing with Pancake Tuesday is it's just Irish people doing terrible crepes. But that's what Pancake Tuesday basically is. And I love when you're on holidays and you get like a really fucking really nice street vendor crepe. You can like bit of Nutella and strawberry, or a bit of Nutella and banana or something.
When you go to Vegas, go to International House of Pancakes. My
good. Do they serve pints?
We might
do a breakfast pint podcast with pancakes. So you're going Sugar Lemon, classic.
Yeah.
A classical.
That's and what then, I give a crap about.
And then finally, lads, Lent is approaching. Give up or take up? Anyways, lads, Lent is approaching. Would you give up something or take up something?
When is Lent from?
I don't know. I'm not religious.
40 days before Easter, is it?
Yeah.
When's Easter? Easter's the
30th,
is it?
Yeah, it's like, Lent starts the day after Pancake Tuesday, so.
Yeah.
Like next week or something.
Yeah, next week or something, yeah.
But would you give up something or take up something?
I'd probably take up something. I've given up enough now.
Yeah. Do you know when you're giving up something then, like? Would you not strategically give up something you don't give a fuck about? Like I give up.
Pancake Tuesday is the day after we're back from the stag, so it's actually a good time to give up something.
It's a bonus. I think it's a bonus. Oh,
that's...
I'm just flagging this whole segment. It's funny, and as Lent is approaching.
Yeah, go on, yeah. Lent is approaching while we give up.
Give up or take up.
Finish up is take up. Oh, but your wedding is in the middle of Lent, so you can't really give up anything.
Yeah, but you have to take that into account.
What are you going to be doing on his wedding?
Or who? Ian's giving up tickets.
My
plus one is for the scrunchies.
Mine is Mary Lou McDonald.
Mine is Ian McRoy and a wolf.
Fuck's
sake. I'm giving up introducing wolves to the wilderness. Anyways.
I don't know.
Have you ever given up something for Lent and actually saw it through? Any Lent success stories?
When I was a child, I gave up potatoes for Lent. Yeah, I still like them, so I said, man, I'm giving up potatoes for Lent.
What is this, 1847?
Yeah, in honour of the family.
Yeah.
I don't know, I probably gave up sweets 1 year or something, but like, what's the point?
When I was 6 or 7, I gave up sugar in my tea for Lent, and I never took sugar in my tea regularly since.
Yeah.
If I'm hungover, I'll throw another spoon in, but ever since then, I just haven't done it. So that's a Lent success story. Thank you, Jesus, who I don't believe in.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
That was a...
I didn't think we'd go on about chocolate bars for like 25 minutes, but there we are. As long as you know the score, www.patreon.com/scrollcast, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. We might insert an old advertisement in the middle of all that somewhere too, and we might make some amendments to our rankings as we think we're on the train on the way home.
Yeah.
Listen, lads, if you're in fucking Kilkenny, look up Billy Burns, great fucking spot, and thanks for tuning into the Scrollcast.
Good.
Mind yourselves.
Enjoy.
Some.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.